And Billy, what'd you do after Danny's Reasons?
We played with Danny, and then I ended up, Carl Bradley and I ended up doing an audition for the Mystics, Mike and Butch. And we joined the Mystics. And I met Edgar, the drummer, and ended up playing with him for about the next 17 years. We stuck together pretty good. But I played with the Mystics for a while, a year or two. Then Edgar and I went on the road with a fella named Steve Peer. We were called Steve Peer and the Inversions, and we did a lot of hotel gigs. We were doing a Vegas kind of show, you know. So, great band. That's where I met Stevie Cherwin. It was a organ, drums, guitar, and the organ kicked the bass, and then Steve up front. And then when Stevie got off the road, we got Craig Horner. He'd play pedals, bass, and comp on the organ here, and pushed his mic back and played trumpet. And Steve played two horns at the same time, and I had my strap on my guitar bolted so that I could swing it around, and I'd pick up a sax, and we had four guys, four horns.
What band was that?
Steve Peer and the Inversion. Good. Four guys, four horns. How about that?
Nice.
Huh? You ever seen that before? I never did. Keys, guitar.
So all these years that go by, you're thinking to yourselves, the sessions we recorded at Dove in 1969 are gone forever.
Lost. Yeah. Place closed. You know, who knows where the tapes went.
And then, lost. In 2011... something happens. Mike, what happens?
Well, I had been frequenting a site, a 60s garage band site, and got to know the guy that ran the site fairly well.
What's his name?
Tim Cox. Mm-hmm. And he knew this Mike Dugo guy who ran another 60s or garage bands kind of site. And Mike Dugo had ran into an acetate that he thought might be the Olivers. And so Tim got in touch with me, and they sent me a mix of some of the tunes, you know, short pieces, and that's when the whole thing finally got put out.
And where was it? Where was the actual acetate located?
It was in California, and I think it did have something to do with Decca. It was just weird that after all those years it would turn up. It was GRT, I think, was a subsidiary of Decca.
Of Decca, so yeah. So Pete must have sent, maybe he sent them one.
I don't know, or they sold it or something.
Yeah.
So the only identification was on the acetate was GRT, and then the handwritten words, 60s psych, correct?
Yep.
So the collector in Ohio purchased it from a seller in California.
I think Mike Dugo actually ended up with it. Tim is in Ohio.
Oh, Tim's in Ohio.
Dugo is in Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah, okay, yeah. So Dugo bought it from a seller in California.
Yep.
Not even knowing what it was.
Well, they did get these sound samples and sent it to me before he bought it.
Okay. So I
verified that it was from the samples. I verified that it was.
So you got MP3s via email.
Yep, right.
So in 2011, you get MP3s on your email, you click on them and play them, and you hear the Olivers. What's your reaction?
I was kind of in shock. I thought I'd never, ever hear that stuff again.
What did you do? Who did you call first?
Let's see. Well, first I said that, you know, I told Mike Dugo and Tim Cox, yes, that's it. And you know, I was just excited that it had finally surfaced.
Did you call the band members?
Did I? I think I might have.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But things didn't get rolling right away.
It took a little while because
then they got back in touch with me later when Wolfgang expressed interest.
That's when it really started.
Yeah.
And he's the guy in Germany.
Yeah, the guy in Germany for
Breakaway
Records. Breakaway, right. Yeah.
And they wanted to put the album out.
Yep. Yep.
On vinyl.
Yep.
And on CD.
Yep.
And along with the vinyl album, they put out the CD, which also includes the Triad recordings.
Right.
The entire Oliver album, and then the Surfman 45s too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the old stuff, yeah.
So this all comes out in 2012, right?
Correct.
On Breakaway.
Yep. And
what kind of a deal did the band get on Breakaway?
Well, we got copies of the album, the CDs, and the singles, but we didn't get any money.
Didn't buy you no Oceanside
homes
or nothing?
Yeah, he forgot to send forgot to send the limo for us.
But at least you got your Lost Dove Sessions finally.
To me, it felt so good to finally have it actually come out. It just felt good.
And on top of that, the photos that showed up
from Italy. Yeah,
some of the photos of the old Surfman photos. There's photographs. I think I mentioned this before. When we recorded the record up in
Michigan,
there was a photographer who was in the studio taking pictures of us while we were recording.
Yeah,
you know, and I for the life of me, I don't remember a photographer in the room.
Yeah,
of course. I might not have been paying much attention.
So, well, speaking of photos, where is this photo on the cover of the album from?
This is a photo that was taken while we were doing the session at Dove.
That is from Dove.
Yeah.
And do we know who shot that photo?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
And who's who from left to right? Who's who?
It's Mike on guitar, Chuck, our drummer. The guy way in the back with a guitar there in his hand, because we didn't have enough room
to get
the Hammond organ in there. So he picked up a guitar and he's playing it. That's Rick Durant, our keyboard player. He's playing guitar, and then me over here on the edge.
Okay. And that's inside of Dove.
I believe.
Did we take that in there?
I believe it was in some room in Dove.
Okay.
It might have been.
And how about on the back side of the album, the photo there, where was that shot?
This is the trio
version of the
version
Olivers,
of the Olivers. After
was this in between Carl and cause I know we only played three piece as Olivers a couple of times.
This was trio, and I can't remember.
Is it the Olivers or Triad?
It's not Triad.
Yeah,
this is
the Olivers.
This is still the Olivers. Okay. But I think Rick was gone at this point, wasn't he?
He might have been.
Because Jay came home,
mm-hmm.
and Chuck got sick,
mm-hmm.
and I ended up playing drums.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay...
Did he play bass for a while? Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it was
we went through a lot of changes.
So do you ever think about what if our album had come out in 1969?
Well, better chance that we'd still be playing in the same band.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or do you have to kind of let that go and just move on?
Well, stuff happens and you learn to live with it.
The Triad thing, you know, we thought that one was going to do. We thought that one picked up the ball from where the Olivers fell out.
We thought that was gonna give us a second chance.
Yeah,
just didn't happen. So it was too frustrating to go on.
That's a long time to wait for an album to come out. 42 years.
Yeah.
Man, it just goes to show you: be careful what you say and do, because you're past with this new internet stuff, digging stuff up. Woo, photographs.
Yep.
From 40 years ago.
And the photographs came from Italy.
Italy.
Right. Yeah, the guy,
And
whoever took them.
Did you find out how the guy in Italy got photographs?
I don't know. He's a guy who obviously saves old photos from around the world.
Yeah.
And those came from Portage,
Michigan.
Portage,
yeah.
Michigan. And ended up in Italy and ended up on that album.
Wow.
Very strange.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Now, how did he know to get in touch with you guys?
Sure. Wolfgang knew the guy.
Oh, the guy in Germany
Yeah.
knew the guy in Italy. Okay.
Wow.
Can All right.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's...
It's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's close to being unbelievable. Yeah, but again, it sort of shows you that sometimes truth is more interesting than fiction.
Stranger than fiction, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the year 2015, and what are you guys doing these days?
I'm just doing my one-man band project and currently getting ready for a reunion concert with Thunder Tree.
Yeah, I want to come see that.
And that's coming up in actually just about 2 weeks.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks.
11 days from tomorrow.
You looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah.
You going to play 16 tons?
I hope we play it faster than they played it last year. The version that I'm on, we did a recording in Mankato. It was just from a cassette. I patched into the PA, and so the stage mics pick stuff up and put it on a cassette.
Right.
And I use Audacity software. It's a freebie, digital audio editor, and I just kind of enhanced things. And it sounded okay.
You're talking about a 70s version of 16 tons that 16, you were?
Yeah, I was that I was on. It was actually either 71 or 72. It was the early 70s, that's all okay. I remember. It actually came out pretty good.
All right. Billy, what are you up to these days?
I play in a band called Dr. Mambo's Combo.
That's been around quite a while.
We just... today, May 31st, is our... The end of 28 years.
Wow. 28
years.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Can you hear me squeaking as I move?
So I have to ask, are you playing bass or guitar?
Actually, I'm playing guitar. But I still get to play the bass once in a while. I play sometimes with a lady named Patty Peterson, one of the famous Petersons.
Sure.
And so I get to play with those guys sometimes. And Paul, he's the bass player. So when Paul's playing bass, I play the guitar. And then when Paul can't make it, then sometimes I get to play the bass. And so I still, every once in a while, I get a chance to play the bass.
And you just did that Mick Sterling thing with the Joe Cocker deal.
Yeah.
Yes, but I played guitar on that one.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I wasn't there, but I heard good things about that.
Yeah, that was a great thing. Mick does some fabulous stuff. He does some good things. And I played in Mick's band many years ago, too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I ended.
So Billy Hawkins was there that night with you guys, wasn't he?
That's right. He was up on stage.
Yeah.
Gave me a shot in the shoulder. Hey!
Mike says hi.
Yeah.
Do you two have any favorite local musicians from back in the days of the Olivers and Triad?
I always thought Mark Geller was one of the best singers on the planet. Okay. And I always liked the guys in Gypsy. They were another band that I really liked a lot.
Billy, how about you?
Yeah, going way back in Indianapolis, remember the Sounds Unlimited?
Oh, yeah.
The big, the tall bass?
Ken Mockey.
Yeah. I used to love that guy.
Yeah. They were a real psychedelic show band.
Yeah, they were good. They were great.
Yeah,
and then
how about for Minneapolis?
Up here, it seems to me like the first time I got flown up to play on a record by Pete, Ken Irwin took me to the Bellray Ballroom and I saw the Mystics. And Bill Lorden was on drums, who ended up with Sly and Robin Trower, and Willie Weeks on bass, who ended up with everybody, and his brother, Clapton, and George Harrison.
Doobie Brothers.
Donnie Hathaway. Yeah. Gee, what a career.
Yeah.
But Willie and I became pretty good friends, and Bill and I, too. I still talk. Bill and I, Bill's out in Phoenix. He's retired. And Willie's living, I think, in... somewhere in Nashville. I hear he's touring again with Vince Gill. He plays with a lot of the Nashville guys, and he's played with everybody. It's fabulous.
Billy and Mike, thank you for taking the time to stop by Sunrise Sound in Rogers today and share with us the story about your time in the music business.
Thank you. I wish, you know, for Mike and I have both, especially me, I don't know about my brain cells, but they're... The count must be getting pretty low because some of the questions you ask, I can't remember nothing about that stuff.
It's hard. It's hard. I did a lot more digging than you probably have about the stuff. So
and a lot of the stuff that I remember, you've jogged my memory on.
Well, you did a good job, and we got the story down. So
unbelievable.
We're thankful for that.
Well, thank you.
The preceding interview was recorded on May 31st, 2015 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Denny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com.